Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610, presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
At the 26-yard line of the Chiefs. Screen pass, Randall Cobb weaving his way across the 15, the 10, and down inside the 10 at the 8-yard line, first and goal.
There is Randall Cobb's highlight montage from last night. Every play Randall Cobb made, courtesy of Mark Vandermeer. Not a good game yesterday for the Houston Texans. Not a good game. Defense gets torched on the ground from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 166 yards rushing. Did you know this is the lowest points in the yards per attempt by Pat Mahomes in his entire career? 4.5 yards per attempt, the lowest of his entire career. That's how in control they were.
They were just sort of I'm not going to say glorified scrimmage. But,
yeah, it was.
But I'm not going to go that far.
No, it really was.
But I think they, and you pointed this out accurately before the show, they definitely held a lot of stuff back.
It felt
like they could.
I thought they was a little rusty.
They might have been rusty. That's part of it, Figgy. But I think they also kind of held some stuff back. Like, okay, we got control of this. Yes. Let's just cruise control. It looked the rest of the way.
It looked like a college football game where, like, let's say Texas is playing University of North Texas or something like that, and UNT is up for the task, but then Texas gets control, and they just run the rock, and they're saving it for next week. It looked like the Chiefs were the big-time D1 team, and the Texans were just one of those teams that was trying to show that they belonged on the same field. And I'm not really sure that they did, but that's what it felt like to me.
Who's Texas playing? UTEP?
Yeah.
So,
it'd be a tough one.
So they're going into that game thinking – we've got our arsenal. We got our game plan.
But we don't need to open it up.
But we're not going to. We may need to open it up. It's in the game plan if we need be. But once Texas goes up 21-3 in the second quarter, they're going to be, all right, let's dial it back. Let's just run our stuff, our basic stuff. That's what happened, and that's an insult, to be honest.
I mean, they got to where the Chiefs got to where they were getting inside the five, and it almost seemed like they were trying to toughen up Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They're basically saying, all right, we know that you can run from 20s to 20s, but we want to toughen you up. And the Texans actually, they stopped Edwards-Helaire inside the five. It seemed like they were trying to toughen him up. But, yeah, I didn't feel like the Chiefs pulled out the entire arsenal. The Texans damn sure didn't, but I don't think it was by choice. 713-572-4610. It is Football Friday presented by Carbach Hopadillo, the greatness of the green and brown can. Let's go to Artie. Artie, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Landry? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right.
Hey, man, I just got a couple of comments, man. I just want to say that the Texans, they played like they were playing, you know, like a preseason game to me, it seemed like, you know. As far as Jim Kelly making the offensive calls, man, I don't know what was up with all the running, bro. I mean, he should have, you know, Deshaun Watson is a gunslinger, bro.
Yeah.
That's what he needs to do. He needs to throw the ball and keep throwing that ball, man.
Man, Artie, like, especially in that third quarter when you're down 17, that they ran the ball four out of eight times,
Brent,
they ran the rock.
One thing that really pissed me off, and I got a lot of, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to Tyrann Mathews. When he did that one blitz, he burned the shit out of Felt, right?
All right, yeah, but I get the point. I get the gist of your point. and it's you're speaking for the masses in a sense when you say that.
Yeah, Fells might as well have gotten his autograph.
Yeah,
Fells might as well have said, "Honey Badger, I'm a big fan. Can you sign this for me?"
And you then see Eric Murray get turned around. God, on the second series, the Chiefs. Eric Murray literally.
Yeah, the rough night.
The cardinal sin. He just like spun around, turned his back. Like, where do I go? Oh boy, on both sides of the ball, man.
I mean, you had a play where Fells. Basically let Tyrann Mathieu go in, and that's when Watson threw the interception, his one interception.
Yeah.
And then you had Titus Howard with Frank Clark. Might as well have laid out the red carpet. Might as well have handed him a flyer or something like that. Like someone, when they're at the door handing you a flyer, he might as well have been at HEB handing out coupons is what he might as well have done. And then the most confusing one to me And look, it's one thing to get beat. Like Tyrann Mathieu beating Darren Fells, it's not ideal, but it happens. Tytus Howard getting turned around by Frank Clark, it's not ideal, but it happens.
Mm-hmm.
There was a play in this game where B.O.B.'s favorite person on the team, the man who had a garage gym and had a blocking sled in his front yard, Nick Martin, literally lined up 2 yards away from a middle linebacker. The middle linebacker is literally lined up over Nick Martin, and Nick Martin snaps the ball and then just moves on to help double team on the left side, and the dude runs up the middle. Luckily, Deshaun can get out of those situations, but that was one of those plays where if Deshaun's not Deshaun, we could be talking about a season-ending injury and wondering what in the hell B.O.B.'s buddy, B.O.B.'s pet, Nick Martin, was doing there. Did you not work on that with the blocking sled in the front yard, Nick Martin? When you loaded up that weight room equipment and you took it to your house during the pandemic, did you not know that when a linebacker is 2 feet away from you, he might be trying to take off your quarterback's head?
You know, 90% of the time when you see an absolute breakdown bust on the offensive line, it's very easy to say, oh, that guy blew it. But 90% of the time, there might have been another responsibility there, right? Someone was supposed to have slid over, maybe a back was supposed to step up. But in the case that you're talking about, this was the 10%. This was like, what are you thinking? He's right there. He's showing you what he's going to do. And then he does it, and you go somewhere else. It was a bad look for Nick Martin. The offensive line in general, we've both been pretty high on it for obvious reasons. They had a pretty good year.
I mean, damn, when you use three first-round picks and multiple seconds and all that money, you might as well have some expectations.
They've returned all five starters for the first time in 10 years in this organization. They by all accounts, looked good in the preseason and in training camp. They didn't look good yesterday. Deshaun Watson got hit 8 times, sacked 4 times.
And he probably should have been more.
And probably should have been if he wasn't Deshaun.
6995 on the text line brings up a very good point, because sometimes it's about making those plays when the opportunity is there. And a lot of times it's not the routine play, but it's an opportunity where you make a play and it can completely change the game. And he's talking about the opportunity for Eric Murray to have an interception of Pat Mahomes on Kansas City's third drive of the game. It was 7-7, and the Chiefs actually started out at their own 9-yard line. And Pat Mahomes went back on first down. They'd already moved the chains once, and he overthrew the receiver. It looked like Tyreek Hill. Maybe he thought he was going to break out. Eric Murray dives, and he doesn't come up with the interception. A lot of guys, like a lot of safeties that make $6 million a year, they make that play. But Eric Murray didn't make that play. Again, it would have been a great play, but if you make that play, you have the ball inside the 30-yard line, you're tied at 7 against the Chiefs, and the game completely changes. When you do invest in defensive backs like Eric Murray, those are the kind of plays you would like to see happen, and those are the plays that can change games.
Yeah.
But as it set, the Kansas City Chiefs, they just walked down the field, 91-yard touchdown drive, and ended up with the Watkins touchdown, the sideways pass slash pick play. And the rest was really just history there. But Eric Murray comes up with that play. We could be talking about a completely
There were a couple of pivotal moments. End of the first half, you miss a field goal. Not a good start for Kyahmi Fairbairn.
He's 51.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to panic, but not a good start. And then they're going to then they turn around and in just a matter of seconds, you know, get down the field and knock one through. So that was pivotal. It wouldn't have changed the game, I don't think, that much, the outcome. That was another pivotal moment there. I think you can't get lost in the muck here, you know, because the big picture stuff is what you're really, you know, judging and gauging and sort of flat out worrying about, to be honest, because, you know, we talk about what they sold us was a team that could be right there shoulder to shoulder with the Baltimores and the Kansas Cities. They're not anywhere close. I'm wondering, I'll go ahead and say it right now, 11:09 on September 11th. By the way, you know, we all know what September 11th means in 2001. Hope everybody takes a moment to think about that and honor that. But here we are, 11:10 now, September 11th. How long until Bill O'Brien takes over play calling? You're seeing
come
the
on.
Hints.
You're doing
seeing
this?
The
come
hints.
On.
I'm asking the question.
Come on.
I'm not making a
proclamation. I found out when you guys found out.
Come on.
I'm not making the proclamation.
You're serious?
I'm not making the proclamation.
You're kidding around, right?
I'm asking the question.
You're joking.
Figgy, we have that audio of him saying we've got to do better.
Here.
You know, we've got to do better offensively, and we couldn't get off the field defensively. He's not talking about Bill O'Brien. He's talking about the coordinators.
Here is Bill O'Brien summarizing the game yesterday afterwards, and John Lopez jumping to conclusions.
I just think that we got down again, and, you know, like I said, we had trouble stopping a run, had trouble getting off the field, and then we sustained the first drive, the second drive of the game for a touchdown, you know, but then we couldn't sustain a couple drives there, and it was, you know, our defense couldn't get off the field. So we got down, and then we got, you know, the first drive of the second half was a big one because they took it down and scored. We dug a hole there. We did come back at the end, but it was too little too late. There's a lot to build on, but it's not, you know, obviously not where you want to be, but there's definitely things to build on, and we got to improve very quickly this week.
I'm not trying to be trite. I'm really not. What is there to build on?
I was just writing down the same thing, the same note.
You wrote that. No, I'm being. Is it David Johnson maybe? Maybe Jordan Akins? Maybe getting Jordan Akins more involved?
I'd David go
Johnson.
With those two.
I mean, other than that, what is there to build on? Help me, for real. Help me.
No, I'm thinking. I know you probably shouldn't have dead air on the radio, but I'm thinking.
I think David Johnson and Jordan Akins are all I look at that maybe you could build on.
Yeah. Well, maybe Will Fuller. I mean,
I miss the dreads.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people do.
I miss the dreads.
I mean, Will Fuller's never going to be DeAndre Hopkins. Throw it to Will Fuller. Watch his catch radius. He looks like a freaking, you know.
Even the catches he made, they look difficult.
Yeah.
He looked like he was a fireman catching a baby off the second story of a burning building. Will Fuller had 10 targets yesterday. You do know that DeAndre Hopkins had 12. When the teams played in Kansas City. So we talk about all this spread the rock and you're too reliant on DeAndre Hopkins. Will Fuller did have 10 receptions.
I thought they were going to spread it around to all four guys.
I don't know. He had 10 receptions. The next closest guy had 5. So There was a 5-target gap between Will Fuller and the next guy. DeAndre Hopkins, there was a gap of 3 in week 6, and there was a gap of 6 in the division round. Yeah. So you talk about spreading the rock. Will Fuller was getting more targets in comparison to other receivers than DeAndre Hopkins did one time, and then just a small amount less in the other. So help me out with that.
Quote, we couldn't sustain a drive. Bill O'Brien. I'm not saying, I'm asking.
I don't even want to go there right now. 713-572-4610. Michael, you're on Football Friday. Go ahead.
I was listening to everything y'all are saying, and Bill O'Brien saying all these quotes. You know, nothing's going to change with this guy, you know, coaching the team. It's going to be the same mediocre stuff we see. And I really feel bad for Deshaun Watson because, you know, the guy's a talented quarterback. He's always been a winner, and, you know, I feel sorry for the guy. You know, you trade away his best receiver, and you sit here and say that you're going to spread the rock around and you know, distribute the ball more. And to me, it looked like Bill O'Brien was calling the plays last night. Same run. You know, nothing's going to change with this guy in charge. So, I mean, I hope things do change, but I just don't see it happening.
I mean, and I think Michael speaks for a lot of people. I think a lot of people feel the same way. It did. You do say that, but, I mean, it was just like Kansas City last year where you scored the touchdown early and then the offense disappears.
I want to ask you about that. Let's talk about that. How much did the offense really look different?
Let's get into that. 713-572-4610. I could just spoil and say not much, but we will cuss and discuss it next. It will take some calls here on Football Friday next.
I found out when you guys found out.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
On second down, here's a nice move inside 20. Edwards-Helaire 15, 10, 5, and he's in. Touchdown. The rookie scores.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that was really the dagger. 24-7, first drive of the second half. Texans defense didn't look up for the task. I know you'd never seen the guy play, so that's understandable, but this defense without DJ Reader. Clowney's obviously been gone for over a year, but just doesn't seem like a defense that's built to stop the run. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you on Football Friday, presented by Carbach Brewing, Hopadillo, to be exact. What did you see from the Texans offense yesterday that makes you feel like this offense is much different than it was last year?
Yeah, not a whole lot, but I do want to give Tim Kelly the benefit of the doubt. They you know, after that missed field goal, you know, at the end of the first half, and then all of a sudden they came back and they punched you back, and so they
25 seconds.
They in just a matter of seconds. They clearly had some momentum there. And then they come out in the third quarter and score, as you just mentioned. That changed the approach. You all of a sudden had to do a lot, you know, you had to ditch a lot of things that were in your so-called script or plans or whatever. But as much as I'm giving them a little bit of benefit of the doubt there, because that could happen to anybody that faces the Chiefs, you know, you got to start playing catch up and you can't stop their defensive line. That said, it really wasn't that much different. It was truly, you know, pulling the same pages out of Bill O'Brien's playbook, which is my hope the entire time has been, maybe Tim Kelly's gonna kind of put his own stamp on things, put a little twist on some things. It wasn't any different. There were not a whole lot. There were some, but there were not a whole lot of, you know, the proverbial RPOs that can give everybody an opportunity to contribute, and you read the defense and you let Deshaun Watson interpret, let Deshaun Watson be Deshaun Watson. There weren't as many of those, and there weren't a lot of big type of twists, things that you haven't seen in the offense a lot. And I think the big problem with that, they don't have the horses, dude. They don't have the players on offense outside of Deshaun Watson that can do those things. And that bothers me more than anything else. Bill O'Brien made this roster. Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby made this roster exactly how they wanted to make it, with the right guys. They got rid of guys they didn't want. They brought in guys that they think are going to be able to run their offense perfectly. It's not that good. They're not good enough.
I mean, there was that one drive, the Texans' second drive, where they scored the touchdown. I don't know if those plays were scripted or not. It might have been part of the script. Sometimes you put a script together and then you come out. But in the second half, I mean, it was vintage Bill O'Brien. After the Chiefs scored that touchdown to go up 24-7, there's no urgency. They ran the ball 4 out of 8 times on one drive. They just ran the rock like they had all the time in the world. And then you had Deshaun Watson basically flushed out of the pocket, and you ended up having to punt. It would look like vintage Bill O'Brien run the rock when there needs to be more urgency. And I mean, I think that was a question about Tim Kelly coming into this. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be like Bill O'Brien? He's followed around Bill O'Brien for 10 years. Bill O'Brien basically said that Tim Kelly has a grasp of the system, and that's why he's calling the plays.
Yeah.
And it looked, one game in, there was we were drinking a little bit of Kool-Aid when they took that 7-0 lead. But after that, it really looked the same. It looked like Deshaun Watson running for his life, Deshaun Watson making some plays, maybe some mop-up duty to make it look respectable. But when the offense needed to be there, just like last time these two teams played in Kansas City, it wasn't there. It disappeared, and your defense is built to where they are not strong enough to be able to hang with Kansas City. We've said this coming in, John, and this isn't like some sort of mystery. So when Bill O'Brien goes up there and says, "Well, our defense couldn't get off the field, and you know we couldn't get manufactured drives on offense," buddy, the way that you've built this team, and I didn't mean to buddy you, Bill O'Brien, but I feel like I need to like get your attention. Almost like I'm talking to like a fourth grader. Buddy, you built this team to where the offense has to make up for the defense and the neglect that side of the ball has had under your watch since you've been wearing the throne. You traded 2 firsts and a second for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. You used a first-round pick on Titus Howard. You used a second-round pick on Max Sharping. You gave Nick Martin one of the heftiest center contracts in the NFL. You traded a second-round pick for Brandon Cooks. You gave Randall Cobb $18 million guaranteed. You traded DeAndre Hopkins, and you took back David Johnson's $10-plus million contract.
Yeah.
You traded a third-round pick for Duke Johnson. On the other side of the rock, you let Jadeveon Clowney go. You let DJ Reader go. The investments are on offense. So, yes, the defense is not going to look that good. You also overpaid Whitney Mercilus and gave him an extension that he couldn't have gotten anywhere else. You gave Eric Murray $6 million. I don't know why.
Yeah.
The fact that the defense doesn't look good should not be surprising. But the fact that you're spending all this money on offense and the offense disappears when they're facing a marquee offense like Kansas City, that's the discouraging thing here. That's what the problem is. Your assets have to eventually make sense. When you invest your money in something, eventually that investment has to pay off, and it hasn't paid off in Kansas City the last two games you've played there because they can't go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs.
You look at the team stats. You know, we can talk about individuals all the time, and I think what you're getting at here is certainly what I feel is if had they showed that they can at least, you know, have a puncher's chance against teams like Kansas City and Baltimore. You know, had they been able to sling the ball around a little more, you know, to be able to show some explosiveness. They don't have a go-to dude on offense outside of Deshaun Watson. Had they just showed that they maybe had that guy. Wilfell had some numbers, but I don't think he's and he can certainly stretch a team, but I don't think he's like the dynamic, oh my gosh, when in doubt, throw it to Will Fuller guy. You know, the running game was solid, you know, 77 yards from David Johnson. That's not going to make you any Pro Bowls, but it's going to help your team, you know. But there was nobody dynamic. There was nobody dynamic out of the backfield. Jordan Akins had a good game, but he's not Gronk. I mean, what I'm saying is if you're going to, you know, if they had just showed that they can, you know, trade punches with Kansas City, we wouldn't be down on this team as we are. But what they showed is they're not as good in personnel. The personnel is not as good.
No, and the investments investments don't pay off.
Right.
Like the investments that they've made, they do not pay off. And the other thing is, like, and I know that they've invested a lot of money, but they also they made it clear that they think that they can add more depth and their system's just going to be good enough to where if you bring in guys like Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb and you have Will Fuller here, that they can spread the rock because they have confidence in this system. This offensive system sucks.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, there's no other way to put it. I would love to have more nuance, and I would love to sit here and say that. This offensive system that they're still running, it's the same one that they've run for the last 6 years where they've never been in the top half of the league in DVOA on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Seth threw this stat out there. Think about that. They've never been in the top half of the league in DVOA.
Yeah.
That's the number one statistic you use to measure offensive effectiveness.
Offensive
and it's never
coach,
happened
too.
In the last 6 years. And you have a coach who, yes, he gave up the play calling, but you're running the same damn system.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same system. That's what they're doing, and it's never been top half in the league in DVOA. And it's at some point, you either need to change the whole system or you need to change the person that's in charge of making the system, because that was actually, honestly, I think what I saw yesterday was worse than what I saw in Kansas City in the playoffs. And I know they were up 24-0.
Yeah.
But look, the Kansas City offense just erupted. Yesterday, you just got flat out bullied.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City just flat out said, hey, we're going to hand it to this rookie running back.
And then took their foot off the gas.
And the Texans, quite honestly, if you would have told me before the game the Texans were going to hold the Chiefs to 34 points, I know it sounds ridiculous. I might have signed up for it and said, okay, we're in for a shootout. Let's see what pops.
Yeah.
They weren't up for it
until
mop-up duty, and they decided to make it look respectable. And Bill O'Brien said they made it look like a game. I don't know if he bet on the game and had a plus 9.5. I never felt like the Texans had a chance to win that game. Going on from like the second quarter on, I did not feel like they had a chance to win that game.
And Andy Reid couldn't even see his play sheet. That was hilarious.
What is that? What is he wearing?
That was awesome.
He looks like a weirdo.
How many Halloween costumes were born last night?
Dude,
he couldn't even see.
He's something else.
How much mouth spray comes out of his mouth?
He's something else. Something else. Let's go to Photo Eddie. Photo Eddie, you're on Football Friday. Go ahead.
That was a great segue, guys, because I actually I kind of disagree with y'all, and y'all going to call me crazy.
No,
but
never.
I actually think going toe-to-toe across the board, athletic-wise, skill-wise, speed-wise, I think we match up pretty well with Kansas City, right?
Oh, wow.
As far as offense to offense.
Eddie, you get your eyes checked lately? You get your eyes checked lately?
No. Just listen to what I'm saying. I think we, across the board, speed-wise, athletic-wise, I think we are toe-to-toe with them. But the problem is it's just the scheme. You know, I wish there was a way that we could turn on Madden and say, give us Kansas City's offense and a little splash of Baltimore's, because we have the perfect quarterback for that, because we have Mr. Watson here, and Mr. Watson is a little bit of Patrick Mahomes and a little bit of Lamar. So you take those two offenses, you merge them together. We're a game plan offense, so merge those two together.
Oh, he actually said game plan offense.
You know, and I think we would actually be able to do something. But if you watch Kansas City's offense last night, anytime they got in trouble, anytime there was a big play needed, crossing routes. All that speed, crossing routes, crossing routes, crossing routes. And I swear, it feels that we don't run a crossing route or simple ways to get people open. You know, if you look at Kelce and Akins, I know in far as fantasy-wise, but I think if you line them up for speed, line them up for jumping, they'll go even across.
Here's the deal. Don't ever throw Travis Kelce and Jordan Akins in the same sentence. I love you, Eddie, but good Lord. Good gosh.
You can talk about scheme. You can talk about scheme, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not going to call you crazy about that, because Bill O'Brien's scheme has not been successful. But the scheme, to me, is the personnel that he's putting on the field by his choice, with his power, with his control. You know, remember when you used to get mad about, well, what do you mean power? You know, you got more power. You know, remember when you used to get upset about that? No. He's got all the power. He makes every decision on the field. He makes every decision on personnel. To me, the scheme is almost a secondary story now. The story is his scheme is putting these guys on the field. Brandon Cooks may well have a decent season. Same thing with Will Fuller and Randall Cobb. But what I saw last night, they're not good enough. And that's Bill O'Brien's guys.
COG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Photo Eddie. Good Lord, man. Good gosh. Got me mad now. If misery loves company, there is some good news for the Texans. You got some company. The hits are lit next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals. The tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Texans lose 34-20, 713-572-4610. Let's get some reaction from the loopholes. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you're a loophole. Don't ask us how we're doing. We're doing terrible yet great because the Texans lost, and it's Football Friday presented
by Carbach. How cool is it that we're even doing this?
It's awesome. It's remarkable. Mike, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
All right, man. I want to get to Randall Cobb, man. He sucks. He blows. David Johnson, he had a glimpse of greatness in the beginning, a 19-yard run longer than he did all last year. It was great. Ended up being baloney. Deshaun Watson, he was good, but he didn't throw no balls down the field besides in garbage time. The last TD of the game with Jordan Akins catching that touchdown in the end zone there, it was free. It was a give me from the referees and the Zebras and the Tiger Stripes. They were just giving that away because of they figured, oh, we can't let this million-dollar quarterback go home with garbage. Might as well give him some free crap. And then Kenny Stills dropped a third-down pass. He ain't no DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah. Another thing is, I truly believe that, idea-wise, that if a coach sucks that bad, I'm not saying Bill O'Brien is the one that sucks all the time, but he does suck in certain instances. Last night was definitely one of them. I truly believe that the NFL commissioner should come up with an idea of a team has a losing record or loses a record against a certain team all the freaking time, that he ought to hire somebody from publicist, I don't care, but a Madden player who's been playing Madden as if I did a couple years ago my whole life.
Yeah, you're falling off, Mike. That was a good start.
That was really good stuff.
It was a good start. It is interesting because the Chiefs' game plan was to take away the deep ball, the speed, which Randall Cobb should have had like 10 catches yesterday.
You would have thought.
I mean, if you're getting $18 million to be a slot receiver, Randall Cobb should have had damn near 10 catches yesterday. Antonio, you're on In the Loop on Football Friday. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Antonio.
You weren't ready to play, just like the Texans yesterday. All right, let's go to Wayne. Wayne, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say, guys, I've been hearing three names all day, DeAndre Hopkins, Davion Clowney, DJ Reader. I think everybody just need to calm down. DeAndre Hopkins and DJ Reader was on the field for the Texans last year when we gave up 51 points to the Chiefs. Clowney Reader and Hopkins was on the field the year before when we lost to the Colts. So the bottom line is this. Yeah, they were great players. Clowney went to Seattle. Seattle didn't go to a Super Bowl. They had a Super Bowl coach, Super Bowl quarterback, did nothing with him. They were great players, but y'all acting as if those guys played. Hold on. They played for the Texans 5-6 years, and we done nothing with them.
Well, I would say this. I'll let you get back in, Wayne, but I would say this. The Texans did hold the Chiefs last year in the two matchups to 170 yards rushing. They had 166 last night. That's DJ Reader's strength. That's DJ Reader's strength is stopping the run, and they got mashed yesterday on the ground by the Chiefs. Mashed.
Well, they gave up 100 and whatever, 200 yards rushing yesterday, but they gave up 51 points in the game. It doesn't matter how many yards rushing you give. They gave up 51 points. And had not the special teams in that playoff game scored a couple of them touchdowns or put them in position to score, that offense wouldn't have scored as many points as the offense scored last night with DeAndre Hopkins.
I appreciate the call, Wayne. So basically he's just saying they suck. They suck. They suck.
That it wouldn't have made that much difference.
It wouldn't have made that much difference.
With D-Hop and obviously Jadeveon Clowney and DJ
Reader. They also beat the Chiefs last year, by the way. They did beat the Chiefs last year with DJ Reader and DeAndre Hopkins in week 6. That did happen.
I can't disagree more, really, on all those. I mean, because you talk about it's not just, you know, the system is what it is. Tim Kelly didn't show a lot of, you know, new wrinkles by any stretch on it. But at some point, you have to be able to make a play. Right now, what he's saying is, hey, it wouldn't have made that big of a difference. Right now, however, I do disagree as well.
I disagree.
Basically, the system is, hey, Deshaun, bail us out.
Yeah, I
disagree. See what you can do. You can't put that on Deshaun.
And honestly, I think if they'd had Clowney last year, I don't think they blow the 24-point lead. Hell, I think they might have had home field advantage with Clowney last year. I 100% disagree. Appreciate the call. Disagreement's healthy on a football Friday. Matter of fact, it's a necessity. But I would 100% disagree. Oh, no. Captain of the B.O.B. Hate Club, Mickey, lay it on us.
Man, okay, are you guys got your seatbelts on?
I'm sitting down. I just sat down.
Okay, well, first of all, it goes again. B.O.B. is not mediocre. He's a bad head coach. I think the turning point last night when our inconsistent kicker missed there at the half, and given one of the greatest quarterbacks the ball of 25 seconds, there was a 6-point turnaround.
Yeah.
But some of the calls he made this morning when I sat in my office listening to sports talks, they were all blasting B.O.B. because at the end of the day, the reliability, all our guys, you know, Fuller can't catch a ball unless it comes into his chest, you know, all those drop passes. So it goes to the old deal. We didn't speed up the offense when we're down 3 scores. I don't get that, so I need someone to explain that to me. But the play calling was putting Deshaun in a predictable killing situation. I bet Deshaun's mama's been trying to call B.O.B. all morning, so you're going to get my son killed. But anyway, everybody won a lot of money in Vegas. B.O.B. is a joke, and why we have him, it all falls back on him. Why did they not speed up there even in the fourth quarter? And then they weren't going 2 running plays and a predictable pass. So Deshaun's going to get killed. But anyway.
Yep. Go ahead. Finish.
Mickey. Oh, well. He's our guy. He's good.
Look.
It's our guy. Love you, Mickey.
Mickey oftentimes has very rational hatred toward Bill O'Brien. Sometimes irrational. I think he was more rational today.
No, he's right.
He's absolutely right.
100% right.
You know, why, I don't think they're capable of speeding up the offense, which is kind of putting, you know, a Ferrari motor in a Volkswagen when you got Deshaun Watson, you know? And so that does fall back to them. But I, again, to me, the scheme is as much the guys that you're surrounding Deshaun Watson with. It is the plays, but it's the guys who can't pull off the plays with the, you know, as dynamic players.
Let's go to LK. LK, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you? Great. I got an observation and a question. The observation is Bill O'Brien was calling those plays yesterday. He scripted Kelly. And you know what? It's like my mom giving me a grocery list going to the store when I was a kid. That's what happened.
I like that analogy.
And two, it's why don't we change our offense up like the fun and gun, running gun, anything? Our offensive line sucks. We can get a ball out in 2.5 seconds or 1.5 seconds quick. Our guys can make separation. They can. They're too fast. That's my question.
I agree with that.
I mean, what do you think?
I agree with your last point. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt on the offensive line because I feel
– if this offensive line sucks, then everybody needs to be fired.
Then, yes, absolutely.
Honestly, if you invest two firsts and a second for Tunsil, a first on Titus Howard, a second-round pick in Nick Martin, a second-round pick for Max Sharping, and the offensive line sucks, everybody needs to be fired.
You are correct.
Everybody needs to be fired. If this is not a very, very good offensive line,
right,
which it didn't look yesterday – everybody in that building from Jack Easterby on down to the janitor needs to be freaking fired.
No, I totally agree with you. I think that's a great point. I am going to give them the benefit of the doubt on the offensive line, and the reason is we've seen them play well. We've seen them play well against Kansas City. We this group, these same five dudes, we've seen them play well. So there is a sample size of them having success. I think last night they ran into a defensive front that they literally never saw last year, Chris Jones, and he's a bad mamma jamma, man. He can stop the run. He can pressure the – I think he had two sacks and another pressure. I mean, he's a bad dude. And they also saw, Frank Clark for the first time. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Everything else I'm not going to give as big of a benefit of the doubt because the last time we saw Brandon Cooks, he had concussions and was not nearly the same player. Last time we saw Randall Cobb, he was switching teams at the drop of a hat and not really that productive. Last time we saw Will Fuller, he's been injured again and again and again. Last time we saw David Johnson, he was third team at Arizona. And he did okay yesterday, but I'm saying, last time we saw Duke Johnson, he was mishandled as a back out of the backfield. Last time we saw these tight ends, they were very erratic. So what I'm saying is if you judge sample sizes, my whole point is, they don't have the personnel to surround Deshaun Watson adequately.
But they've spent money like they have. That's
right,
the problem.
Right.
So it's not like a personnel. Like a lot of times when your team's not good enough, you can say, okay, well, you got draft picks. Well, they don't have a first and second round pick next year. Well, at least you got cap space. Well, they don't because they've spent a lot of money on these guys that you just talked about. I will say Cobb was okay in Dallas. I'm not sure why exactly they felt
the same Randall Cobb, but he was all right.
I mean, I don't understand why you need three slot receivers on your team.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Like, guys that can line up in the slot. You got three guys that are only slot receivers. DeAndre Carter, Kiki QT, and Randall Cobb.
Right.
I don't understand that at all.
What I'm saying, though, is if you look at data, you have to judge.
Oh, you just told me look at data, huh?
If you look at data.
It's very condescending of you, John.
Or even just a sample size. Okay, just statistics.
It's very rude.
Very rudimentary data. Statistics. All right.
Now you're using words I don't know.
No, we're not all stat guys.
Look, the offensive line, you can't be bailing on them because they have been good. Everyone else, if you look at stats and recent history, it's okay to criticize because they did last night what we should not be surprised they did. We should not be surprised at how the complimentary pieces performed last night because that's how they looked the last time we saw them.
713-572-4610. Let's go to Clarence. Clarence, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hello, how y'all doing, man?
Terrible, man.
Yeah, hey, that's why I called, man. But look, I'll tell you what, man. It's O'Brien had a, how much time, how long he been here, man?
He's been here. This is his seventh year, Clarence.
No, wow. I mean, come on. I mean, really?
Yes, really.
Seventh year, man.
Yeah, really.
God. Damn. But listen. I tell you what, you got to play. Where was Blacklock at?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, where was Ross Blacklock?
I don't know.
Yeah, where was he?
I didn't see him.
Ha, ha, ha. I did. I was looking at number 90. He didn't play worth a darn.
Clarence, we appreciate you.
That's a great call. Just made me smile.
Hey.
I don't know how good his takes were, but that call made me smile.
Clarence,
his passion.
Clarence, you're the man. Was Kahale wearing worth keeping just so he could try to block punts? Like, I'm serious. Like, what is Kahale wearing doing? I saw him out there. First of all, when they were running in the locker room,
mm-hmm.
they were trying to do it to make like a statement about the anthem.
Yeah.
And Kahale wearing is doing a rock and roll symbol, sticking his tongue out into the crowd.
He's a beach bum, man. He's a San Diego guy.
Look at this, dude.
I saw it.
I mean, this.
Oh, you got a screenshot?
Oh, yeah, look at goodness. This guy.
Oh, my goodness.
This guy, what was he doing? And is Kahale wearing really worth keeping just so that he can block punts? Is that what we're doing here?
I mean, that does have value, but
shut
no.
Up.
But no, I'm saying it does have value, but no. No, not at all.
713-572-4610. James, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
What's up, gents? First, I want to highlight the OG. OG, you've been around sports way too long, Doc. You know personnel and scheme slash your offensive set is completely different. If you look at each touchdown scoring drive that the Chiefs made or they went on, when they scored, every single time the scheme got their dynamic player open. Every single touchdown.
I hear you.
That's the first thing.
I hear you.
All right, now, secondly, I'm with you on the offensive line. We've seen them play great together. I would have still rather them upgrade at right guard and when he got Warford just to get a better player of a better caliber on the field.
Look, I hear Fulton got worked a little bit.
Appreciate
no doubt.
You, James.
No, look, what I'm saying is I've sent you the wrong message. I understand that we can talk about Bill O'Brien's offense. We can talk, and we have, and we will continue to talk about the play calling, the lack of creativity. Is Tim Kelly really going to be just an extension of what Bill O'Brien was last year? No. I get that the scheme is not good. What I'm saying is right now, the scheme for Bill O'Brien is the players that he's put on this offensive roster that are just not dynamic enough, no matter the scheme. So you could have Andy Reid calling his offense with these guys, and they wouldn't be as good as what we saw last night with Kansas City, because Bill O'Brien has put the wrong – he's picked the wrong dudes.
Yeah, he's made the
talent picked
worse.
The wrong dudes,
It appears, and it's early. And I'll say this. You might kill me for it. Games against Baltimore are the kind of games that Bill O'Brien wins.
Oh, yeah. Bounce back.
He loses this, and then all of a sudden he beats the Baltimore.
They start mauling people.
That's the Bill O'Brien way.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see how that goes down. Let's go to Frazier. Frazier, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. Guys, I call you with a heavy heart today. I'm a UPS man, and this COVID, man, I delivered all my businesses. I was so excited for all my businesses to open back up, and it reminds me of Bill O'Brien, honestly, guys. I was so excited of the game getting ready to start. I'm sitting down with my popcorn watching the game. And as the game continued on, I was just like depressed all over again like I was when my business opened. A lot of my employees that I delivered to were furloughed. A lot of them didn't come back to work. Mm. And as I'm sitting there, I'm like, golly, this looks like the same old stuff I'm always seeing for the last 7 years with Bill O'Brien, man. It's just it was extremely depressing seeing this stuff, man. And I thought about all the people that we lost on our team to whom would have helped us, and all the pickups that we got are not sufficing. And it was a depressing time. So I want to thank you guys. I respect you guys so much for giving us this opportunity to vent as fans of the Texans. And I want to ask you a question. We have been dealing with this guy for 7 years. You guys may have a better relationship with the McNairs than any of us fans do. What do they see in Bill O'Brien that we do not see ourselves?
Great call. Great call. Appreciate the kind words. Mm. They have a relationship that they trust. I mean, I wish I had more.
Comfort? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe just
comfort?
A good old comfortable shoe.
They're just comfortable in the relationship.
We all have that pair of shoes.
They're not trying to have the perfect relationship. They're just comfortable in the relationship.
They're comfortable with him. Okay. And I think
that's a hell of a sales pitch, John.
Well, you asked. Actually, he asked. No, I think they're comfortable with him. The sky is not falling. You know, a couple of people said, hey, guys, relax. It's just one game. It's the only game that we have been able to judge the new Texans, Bill O'Brien's new 2020 version of Texans. So we are judging it. And the other part of that, of my answer to that is we were told it was going to be better. It was worse.
It was worse. It was worse. Defense was about what I expected. 713-572-4610. By the way, shout out to all the delivery drivers.
Yes, sir.
UPS, all that. I mean, my goodness. You guys deserve to sit back, kick back, and drink you a hoppadillo more than anybody here on a football Friday. Let's do some stuff for the kids, though, before we get into lunchtime. Through the end of the week, we're working with the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. It's the final 2 hours for us, and we want to get that money up for the kids. 61% of low-income families don't even have a single book in their household. And as a result of that, 60% of kids that begin school, they're fighting an uphill battle. They're not where they should be. They're not able to read at the level they should be. And you get left behind. You get left behind if you're a kid. A lot of kids find their way out of it, but with these numbers, a lot of times you get left behind. Mm-hmm. And we want to help these kids out, make them enjoy reading,
and prevent them from being yet another statistic and giving them a chance to succeed at the highest level possible.
This is a huge, huge day because we're trying to help all these kids all across town. You've mentioned stats. We've mentioned stats all week. The bottom line is these kids need books in their lives now more than ever. A lot of people still at home, even if they're not, even if they're going to class, they still need those books in their lives. And $30 will get you 6 books that they choose. I say let's put a hundo down if you can. Don't do it if you can't. Don't, you know, but if you can, put $100 down. All you have to do is text HTX Reads. That's HTX Reads to 41444, and you're good to go.
HTX Reads, 41444. $30 gets a kid 6 books of their choice. So it gets them excited. They get to pick the books. And then, who knows, maybe they you prevent them from being yet another statistic. It's part of Sports Radio 610's mission with the Barbara Bush Literacy Foundation here on a Football Friday. Coming up, is Bill O'Brien looking in the wrong places? We'll discuss lunchtime next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.